Hey, did anybody in the studio go see Macca last night? Paul McCartney?
I did not get to see Paul McCartney
last night. I didn't see him. John Duffy, did you?
I did not see Paul McCartney.
Kevin? Bertrand?
Nobody? No. Nobody.
We suck.
And I love him.
I know. I'm surprised you didn't try to beg for tickets. I saw him once at Soldier Field.
Did you?
And I would imagine the show's even better now.
I saw him there as well. And it is just, it's earth-shattering to see a Beatle, right? It really is.
Yeah, of course. It must be.
Yes.
You're looking at history.
Yeah.
All right. Dr. John Duffy is here. That's who you're hearing talking right now. He's a clinical psychologist. His book is The Available Parent. Your podcast is Undue Anxiety. And you had a repeat guest on your Undue Anxiety.
I did. My esteemed colleague, Laura Kaler, shout out to you, Laura, was on. And she and I were talking about how our practices this time of year are filled with kids who are getting ready to launch toward college, mm-hmm. or kids who are just getting ready to start a new school year, and what can parents do to help prepare kids to get ready? And Laura's point, and I agree with her, is we, out of the best of intentions, we tend to micromanage and lecture and helicopter and do way too much for our kids. And they're not really very good then at self-regulating and problem-solving once they get into the school year themselves. They end up relying on us too much to kind of fight their battles for them, do their work for them, and do way too much for them. And so they find that they're really not very competent or resilient to do much on their own.
Yeah,
I am 100% guilty of that. I've been told by my oldest son, who was going to go to Belmont College in Nashville, and we decided to call an audible at the last minute. He'll be going to College of DuPage. He was very mad at me at first. He's like, why am I not going? I thought you had my back on this. I didn't feel he was ready.
Right.
Again, he was mad at me about that. And we went and registered at College of DuPage, and he seems to be happy with the decision. You don't have to go to your dream school to get your dream job, and I think community college is looked at as a failure.
You know, community college is something that we dismiss so readily. So we've been talking here about gap years at times, and but I think we push so hard to get our kids into the best colleges. And that has a lot to do with us as parents,
yep.
But we don't often think about goodness of fit, and I've worked with kids who walked onto the campuses of Triton or College of DuPage or Oakton Community College or College of Lake County and felt like, for now, this is home for me. I'm comfortable. I can do this. I can manage this. Mm-hmm. And a lot of parents bristle at this idea because they think, oh, we want you to have this experience. But that's what we want. It's
that
not necessarily what our kids want and what's going to work best for them. And I've worked with way too many kids every single year who go off to college kind of following this convention, this dream that they're supposed to follow, and it doesn't work out for them. And they're back on my couch by Thanksgiving trying to put the pieces back together.
And to get out of that school, perhaps,
exactly.
too.
Yeah.
That was me. I made it a little over a semester at Illinois State.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready to go to a class with 300 kids in there. I'm pretty smart. I thought, I don't have to go to math class with 300 people. I'll just do the homework. You know what? You need to go to class.
Yeah, you need to go to class.
So then I went to Triton and did well, and the smaller classes. It's, to me, a great adjustment from high school, junior college, to university. It's like a nice gradual transition.
Yeah,
yes.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It's kind of my hope that becomes more and more the norm, because in large part, college is wildly expensive. Most families cannot afford college the way it's laid out now.
Right.
And I think that might be changing for the worse as we speak. But so the idea of a couple of years at junior college and giving yourself a little time to think about what it is that you want to do, maybe holding a part-time job while you're in school, it kind of eases you into this adulthood and making decisions for yourself.
You know what it's tough, though, is when kids are telling the stories of where they're heading off to, and you get a bunch of kids who are going, to bigger universities. It's hard for a kid to say, I'm going to a community college, because everybody just goes, well, what went wrong?
That's exactly. May 1st, and that was the worst day for Michael, because, everyone's, where are you going? Where are you going?
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know yet.
Yeah, high schools have this day typically where you wear the shirt for the college you're going to. So for the kid who's not going to college or for the kid who's going to a community college, they have to navigate that. And you're right, Bill. The presumption is what went wrong, not, hey, I chose this. This is the right choice for me for now.
Right.
And I'm not sure where this is going to lead from here. Nor are you who is going to, you know, Princeton, you know?
Yeah.
We're all just getting started here. And there's so much transferring and moving around going on in those 4 years or five or six that, you know, not that many kids end up in the same place they started. And that's not necessarily always the best answer for kids.
Yeah.
This text just came over. The first 2 years are general classes, so why waste that money on a big university? Save the money for when you decide on a major and you can specialize and take the classes you want. It really seems to make sense.
Right, right. And kids have different levels of comfort, right, with big groups of people like you were talking about, Wendy, and different levels of maturity. And so to kind of recognize that and allow for different choices based on what works best for your kid, the best fit for your kid, oftentimes, more often than we think, that's going to be a community college to start. And it's a pretty good answer for an awful lot of kids.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Dr. John Duffy is with us. If you have any questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. We're at 312-981-7200. We'll continue this next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, Dr. John Duffy is with us. He is a clinical psychologist, an author, a life coach, an all-around great guy. Undue Anxiety is his podcast. Where did we leave off with transitioning to school? Because, Bill, this is the worst time of your life. All the school supplies are out at Target
or
Walmart.
I know, I'm not happy about that.
Oh, you don't love that?
I think it upsets, like, I've seen stores do it, like, a week after school ends, they'll say, back to school sale. And if I was a kid, that would depress me like crazy, going, I just got out of school. I don't want to think about going back to school.
A lot of kids I work with are already kind of concerned that summer's over. And I have to remind them, well, you've got a good month to go.
Yeah.
So it's not
but
much.
There's summer reading to ruin that.
That's true. That's true. We kind of load our kids up. Anyway, what we were talking about was kind of that college decision and how do we make that decision? How do we guide our kids towards something that really is going to kind of guide them towards success instead of something that's going to land them back at home trying to regroup, right? And sometimes we as parents have to play a pretty active role in that. Too often I see parents pressing for, like, let's go to the very, very best school, highest rated school that you can get into, ignoring the goodness of fit idea, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm encouraging parents to do in the last several years is to watch your kids' reactions as they head onto a campus. And every once in a while, you can just see that they're home,
mm-hmm.
you know, and pay attention to that. It probably isn't going to be what you picture. Their major might not be what you picture. Their path might not be what you picture. And I try to convince parents that's the fun of parenting is like, you know, you're not looking to create a clone. You're looking to create people who can think on their own and who can problem solve and self-regulate and are competent and resilient and strong. And not necessarily you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody has texted, and I have to share this. Wendy, why did you make the choice for your kid to go to college? And I made the choice because I'm a parent. I know my kid, and I didn't feel he was ready to go to 7 hours away to a college there. And
right.
So
I have a question. Why did you pick my daughter's colleges? That didn't make
sense. Because you asked me.
All right. That's part of it, I guess.
And I mean, you know, granted, I have done a lot of assisting because I didn't feel the college application process was going to get done. So I did a lot of nagging and finally said, sit down, let's do this. And I feel like I did not help my kid learn how to advocate for himself. Am I alone on this?
You're not absolutely not alone. I think this is like the difficulty of being a parent today. If you think about a generation ago, oftentimes we were kind of left to our own devices. You know what I mean? We're not even going to drive around, look at schools, pick something, go, let me know when
know
you get
where
there.
Where your brother or sister went.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, you know, parenting is very much a verb, right? We're very involved and we want the very best for our kids. And so it's really hard to decide because we're kind of pioneers in this, what tightrope to walk. You know, do I get more involved so that my kid feels some modicum of success?
Of course.
Do I step back so they feel that success? And sometimes it's some combination of the two. To the texter's point, I understand what they're saying, but sometimes you have to step in if you can see, like, this isn't going to work out. I think as parents, it's incumbent upon us to say, yeah, you know, I think maybe that can wait a year or two and that might not be your path. So let's start somewhere else. And then we can reevaluate. And I think the we might these days be the important part.
And, you know, if you don't think your kid is going to succeed, why would you spend $50,000 to send him away for a year? I'm sorry, but that has something to do with it also.
Has a lot to do with it. Yeah, college is how many times more expensive than it was a generation ago? And we really have to consider that. And it's important for kids to know that, too. I was talking to a teenager yesterday, and he had no idea how much college cost. And, you know, and he makes a couple hundred bucks a week doing some work. But to translate that into what $50,000 a year means, you know, $200,000 over the course of 4 years, it's very difficult to understand. So I think we have to sit down with our kids and really talk about the cost-benefit analysis. I had a dad in my office one time say, I love you, son, but you've gotten D's in high school. Yeah. You are a bad investment for me right now.
But that's true.
It was actually a very loving thing to say. It was true, right? So he said, show me that you're a good investment and we'll revisit this.
Doesn't a lot of this come down to adaptation? There are some people, because for a lot of kids, it's their first time away from home. So some kids are going to pick up on that and excel at that, but other kids are going to be lost.
Absolutely. And I think there's some things we can do as parents to lay the groundwork so that our kids are more likely to adapt. No guarantee.
Right, sure.
But if we let them make more decisions early on
and
let them fail once in a while, which we are so reluctant to do, right? You know, like when it comes to like going and talking to a coach or talking to a teacher, like, you know, about, boy, that F should be a C or that C should be an A, we tend to want to take those conversations on because we think, well, they're going to be more successful. I have a better shot than my kid at getting that grade up. But for those kids, for our kids to fight those battles early on, they're more likely to go to office hours 2 years from now. You know what I mean? And I think it's hard for us to make those links when our kids are in high school.
At LT High School, they offered a study skills class, which, again, Michael was reluctant to take. It was the best thing ever because part of the class was you needed to email your teachers. That helped teach him to reach out. Once they get to high school, I don't talk to teachers.
It's the best
I really
thing.
Don't. And quite honestly, it takes the stress off of my life.
Sometimes, and the teachers, let's be honest.
But I have gotten a couple of emails from teachers. Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome. And
I will answer them, but I just kind of say, I'll discuss this with my son and he'll get back to you. Because I figure in high school, by this point, they got to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, most every high school now has this portal, right, where parents can go on, get a code, and look in real time to see what assignments not only have been going on and what grade is current now, but, you know, whether yesterday's homework was handed in.
Yeah.
And I think that's sometimes too much information. And it's dangerous because it's not always updated. And so it creates this drama. And if it were up to me, I would do away with that and let, you know, let kids report to their parents how they're doing and have the problem kind of the family problem solve this stuff on their own.
Yeah.
Quick phone call before we let you go. Max is on the line. Hi, Max. We're talking about going away to college. And you did?
My son wanted to go away to college. And I just looked at him and I told him, if I'm giving you 30 or 40 grand to go to college, I'm going with you to party. You ain't wasting that money.
Seems fair.
So when are you both leaving and where are you going?
That was 10, 15 years ago. But he went to the community college, failed the first year. I told him, season above, I'll pay it. Season below, you're going to pay it. Well, he failed. So he paid that money back. And then the following year, for the next 4 years, then he was an A student.
Oh, wow.
Look at that. How about that?
Some natural consequences paying off.
Hit him in the pocket, man. Hit him in the pocket. Be a parent. Don't be your friend.
Well done, Max.
Thank you, Max.
Is that a good policy?
That's
an interesting. See, if it's below C, it's on you. Above C, I'll take care of it.
Completely reasonable, right? Yeah, because you know, if most kids are capable of doing well in school if they engage, right? Barring you know, profound learning disability or attention issue.
Yeah.
And if you think about Max's son, right?
Yeah.
Here's a kid who was getting poor grades. And if Max didn't have that policy,
right,
there's no incentive to really change that tech, right? Yeah. But if he knows, okay, I've got some skin in the game, and I think this is important, then, you know, he rises to the occasion.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
John, thanks so much. It's
thanks,
Dr.
guys.
John Duffy. Again, his book is The Available Parent. And then the podcasts are always available on WGN Plus. Right?
Correct. Yeah. Yes.
Thanks, John. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. A quick break and then some news and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.